They're not really built for contact sports, are they? Definitely really good at lawn bowls, though. And darts. Or women.
Mel needs to start up a lingerie football league.
See, there you go. That's just ridiculous. Why is that?
Because
you're only interested because women are wearing lingerie.
If you got a hot ass, you got good tits, why not do it?
No. I'd be more likely to watch you play netball if you're off naked.
Thanks, Dave. Oh, bullshit. How many times are the guys sitting up? Look at her ass. Look at my tits. That's what they're watching.
At the end of the day, what's the difference between men watching men's sport and men paying money and watching women's sport if at the end of the day it brings it to the surface? It makes awareness. So it's on television.
True. That's you know? True. But
it's not ideal, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Women are facing tough times gaining equity, especially in professional sport in Australia.
Women make up just 9% of all sports coverage in Australia on television, news and current affairs, and horse racing is 10%. Yeah. So we're getting less coverage than horse racing.
Only in Australia would horses be more followed than women. That's Christelle Coulon. She's senior writer of Australian Women's Health magazine. Coulon is part of the magazine's I Support Women in Sport campaign. The campaign is creating awareness of female sport and has 100,000 women pledging to participate in sport. Although movements like these are changing attitudes towards women, there is still some way to go. The Men's National Basketball League has a difficult time gaining popularity. Listening to the crowd of the Sydney Kings game, you can hear they are struggling in drawing an average crowd of 4,000 last year. In comparison, the Women's National Basketball League is lucky to even get any numbers to games with an average crowd of 700. Anne Bundy Beerust is changing the mindset of young Aussie kids. Bundy Beerust created Football United in 2006. She wants to improve people's lives through football, particularly for young girls through the Strong Woman, Strong World campaign.
A couple weeks ago, two of our programs were having a gala day of competition, and the coordinating teacher walks up to me with this young girl from an Eastern European background, and she said, X wants to talk to you. And I said, hi. And this young girl, with tears in her eyes, just said, thank you so much for this opportunity. I never believed this kind of thing could happen. You know, the whole world is trying to address women's rights and girls' rights. And among those rights are the right to participate equally in any aspect of society. And girls and women love sports as much as any guy or man, and frankly can perform, particularly in football, just as well. Okay, you may have a power issue, but I was just out at the W League games last Saturday, and they are brilliant athletes, those women.
Melissa Barbieri made history in 2007 when she was the first female to play in the professional men's league. As soccer captain of the Australian Matildas, she feels that women are getting a raw deal and just need a chance to shine.
It just goes to show, like, if you watch the Olympics, you know, how popular female sport is at the Olympics. It's because we're given the time of day. A lot of people are very impressed by female athletes and what we do. And it just goes to show, if you give them the time of the day, like, many people in the public would be quite surprised, and they'd be fans from then on. Mm-hmm. Once the Olympics go, that kind of gets thrown out the window. Female sports take a backward step again, and then they're kind of out of the limelight.
Women receive 40% of the 2008 Olympic coverage, but when the Olympics aren't on, women are forgotten again. In August this year, the ABC cut its coverage of women's soccer and basketball games, instead showing an hour of highlights. Compare that 1 hour to the AFL and NRL, who recently signed multi-billion dollar deals to televise every game. Female athletes like Barbieri struggle to make ends meet without sponsorships and finance. Running down towards the
50. Can he do it again? Just by telling you that I've had to go to work today. To pay my mortgage. I mean, that's a direct reference to how much money and input and income I can make from the sport if I was on in media, or if I was given a chance, if we were popular, let's say, I could probably not have to work. I could basically train and play the game as much as I wanted to and not have to worry about that secondary income. But I have to supplement my income because of the fact that no sponsors.
Representing Australia in the last three Olympics, Susie Bakovic is a prominent basketball player. Bakovic played basketball professionally overseas in America and Europe.
You know, the interest there is a lot more, but at the same point, they're a lot bigger country than what we are. And they're probably sports orientated around basketball more so than, let's say, in Australia. So it is a little bit different. Europe's the same. Europe's, you know, it's full-time professional. So is the WNBA. It's full-time professional. So it's totally different in the way that it's set up and the way that it operates. And unfortunately, like, you know, there's not enough money, you know, in Australia for women's basketball for it to be a full-time, you know, be full-time professional.
Sport is not a job for everyone. People like to watch and play for fun, like the University of New South Wales volleyball team. I asked what they thought of women in sport.
What do you guys think about when people say that men are superior to women in sport?
I'd have to agree with
them. You'd agree? Why?
It's far more interesting to watch. It's just stronger.
But don't you think that women put in just as much effort as men?
Yeah, but they don't look as good.
Just like men enjoy watching women, these women also enjoy watching men. Coulon hopes the I Support Women in Sport campaign will change media focus of sex and appearance.
So by focusing on their clothes or, how their hair looks. I know that after Sam Stosur won, there was a lot of comments on the clothes that she wore and her hair and stuff, which is just ridiculous. She just won the US Open, which is such a huge achievement, something that our male tennis stars haven't done in a long time. And so by focusing on things like their body or their clothes, etc., it takes away from their achievements.
Maybe attitudes are changing. For 16 years, Inside Sport featured bikini models on its front page and was the highest-selling men's magazine. The magazine's editor, Graham Sims, ditched the swimsuit layout in 2007 after a fall in popularity. Now the magazine only has athletes on its front covers that people often find provocative.
Sport does happen to be quite sexy. It shows off fantastically fit humans, male and female. Yep. They're often dressed in quite, you know, alluring ways that sort of accentuate their physicality. So it's pleasing to the eye. Say that they will have to swallow the fact that some athletes are very physically attractive. They'll have to come to terms with that. There are numerous examples in the world of sport where there's no denying that the physical attractiveness of a particular woman athlete leads to endorsements, leads to the sort of commercial gain that many of them would otherwise aspire to.
Both male and female athletes are portrayed as athletic or sexy, and that itself is equality.
Well, I think if you go too far in that direction, it does. But on the other hand, it also helps dispel what is another myth, which is that all women athletes are big, gigantic, sort of female-looking males. And that's a whole other myth that women have had to combat for a long time. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with people wanting to be attractive and engaging, as long as it's not over the top. Men do the same thing. I mean, look at Beckham. You know, he's wheeled out as the sexual poster boy. You know, nobody says it's taken away from his capacity to play his game. Nobody points their finger at him. So why is it that women are always being finger-labeled for that kind of thing? I think you really have to be careful not to go overboard either.
Women want to be equal not just with airtime and media, but be able to be commercial and make money as well. Basketballer Bakovic remains hopeful about getting big crowds to basketball.
I've been fortunate enough for years to play in big crowds, and it's the best feeling as an athlete. You know, just the atmosphere, and I'd love to see gyms get packed out, basically.
Do you think that it's possible to do that in Australia?
I would never say never. I don't think anyone should ever say, you know, never. But, I mean, you look at the netball. If we go back you know, I'm not really sure, but 10 years ago, I'm adamant that the netball was nowhere near where it was today, where it is today. There's a big difference, and, you know, the way they did things and obviously the media, just everything, the way they went about, you know, their process and stuff, obviously that works for them. Now there's a lot of people following the netball and they're really well known.
Netball Australia is providing hope. They're set to sign a 3-year broadcasting deal for their regular and international seasons, played in front of crowds of over 10,000 people. The future of women's sports is brighter than ever before, thanks to movements like Football United and the I Support Women in Sport campaign. The next goal is for social media to change comments like this.
I don't know. They seem to be good at anything involving poles, however.
Because guys have more muscles and are bigger.
They're not bad. Just boring.
Because they're not built to do the tough stuff, yo. They were designed to have kids and keep us from killing ourselves.
Because they are a lesser life form and shouldn't be on the internet, but in the kitchen until 9 p.m. when it's bedtime.
Joel Moss reporting.